Okay, so welcome. We are doing another practitioner training call, and my name is Joshua Winner, and I'm the Sales and Marketing Director for Quantum Touch. And today I'm going to be interviewing Miriam Hunter, and she's from Virginia, and she is a practitioner, a level one, level two self-created health instructor. As she was also one of the main contributors to creating the mentorship program, and she is a mentor for practitioners and instructors. And again, the reason we're doing these calls is really to help our practitioners grow their business, to grow their practice, to help them understand some of our top practitioners, instructors, and, you know, their mindset, their psychology, some of the action steps they've taken, you know, their journey of discovery from beginning with Quantum Touch all the way up to where they're at now, and really to share that information with you and give you a platform to ask any questions so you can answer any questions that you have. So I'd like to welcome Miriam Hunter to the call. Welcome, Miriam.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm so excited to be here with everybody. Hello, everybody.
Wonderful. And Just to take us right from the beginning with, you know, kind of how you found out about Quantum Touch. So I was curious, were you already involved in alternative healing before you found Quantum Touch?
I really wasn't involved with alternative healing. I was being a mom and doing things like that. And before that, I had been a volunteer coordinator for a nonprofit organization. So really hadn't done much with alternative kinds of things. And what happened, my progression to Quantum Touch was when my kids went to school, I thought, what do I want to be when I grow up? What do I need to do? Where can I look? And so I started kind of at a comfort spot for me, which was art. And started through that and did, you know, meditations before I did the art. I mostly did animals and plants. And would ask that the energy of the animal or plant be present in the painting that I was doing. And from that, people started buying the paintings. They started asking for commission work, and they started saying that they were using it as a meditation tool themselves. And I thought, oh, wow, that's really cool, you know. It's really, really cool. And then someone asked me for a healing painting, and I thought, wow, do I do that? I can try it. Sure, why not? And so I looked up the gal I was doing it for, wanted it for her sister who had some issues with bipolar. So I looked up what plants or animals might help to balance the energies for her and made this painting. And when there was a particular rose that I did. It was called Loriana Rose. And when the sister, the gal came to pick up the painting, she said, well, tell me about it. And I said, well, this is, you know, the flower over here is a Loriana Rose. And she looked at me and froze. And I said, wait, is that okay? And she said, well, that's the name of our sister who died last year. And I, of course, was shocked. We were both in tears at that point. Well, I went on to talk about what else was in the painting, and there was another flower that she had dreamed about two nights ago. So it really was an affirmation for me that I was doing something and helping people to heal already. After that, I found that anytime anybody said the word healing, anytime I read about healing, my hands were just on fire. So I began the process of looking at hands-on modalities to see, you know, what I felt comfortable with. And I looked into just about everyone I could find information about on the internet or in books. And what I kept coming back to was Quantum Touch, because it felt like it was just easy. It didn't have a guru base. It didn't have, you know, you must do this and then this and then this. And so I called about a class that was in my area. And it happened to be the next weekend, and there was one opening left in the class. And I went to the class, and it truly was like a homecoming. The work that I'd that I didn't realize I was doing all my life, you know, just having empathy and understanding where people were coming from, now had concepts. It was like a deciphering code, that, you know, the information that I got in that first class. And now I understood the language that energy was speaking to me, and it was just so exciting. I knew right then I wanted to be a practitioner and an instructor to just let everybody else know how great this modality was.
Wow.
So that's
you,
how I
you
came
knew
to
immediately.
It.
You knew immediately.
I really did. I really did. Yes.
Was there a moment? Was there a moment in it, or?
I think it was certainly within the first hour of the class when we started, when we just started to shift, you know, structure. And I thought, well, you know, that's if she's experienced. The teacher's experienced. She knows what she's doing. That's not going to happen for me. And then, you know, we had the time to work together, and everybody was doing it, and I was doing it. And it felt so easy and so natural, and I just thought, oh, this can't get any better, can it? But of course it has.
Wow. So that was the defining moment, it sounds like, was really watching somebody align, you know, shift bones, or, you know, something that supposedly can't be shifted. And then I think Richard said he had the same experience, you know, when he was originally seeing the work done for the first time from his mentor, and said, I can't move bones, or they have some other skill set. And then when you're able to do it, it just something in you shifts. That's like
right.
a paradigm
it
shift.
It really does. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And everybody in the class was doing it.
So you were
wow.
just looking at all these first timers, just new to it now. They're all, you know, moving bones and making. Was there any massive shifts or any major healings in that very first class you experienced?
Oh, definitely. I mean, in every class since. I can't say that there has been a class that I've been in since and that it hasn't been a major shift for someone in the room. That particular one, she had a woman come in and who had been in a car accident some years ago and really had difficulty walking and standing and all of that. And we did work on her, and she did a little jig before she left the room, and her daughter was just in tears. It was really amazing to see the difference from when she walked in and the ease with which she was moving when she was ready to go.
You know, I think that brings up a valid point. I hear some of the feedback from our community is, you know, sometimes it's a challenge for some people to find the resources, whether it be time or money or logistics, to get to some of the classes, to take them with instructors. But I think one of the valuable points is it does reassociate you with the work, and you get to see people having healing experiences, and it's kind of reignites that inner fire, that inner spark. So a great tool for a practitioner who's been, you know, maybe in quantum touch for a while, but that's kind of lost some passion or spark, is maybe to attend another class. And
I can't emphasize enough how important it is to take many, many classes. I took 4 live classes and then facilitated 4 video workshops, which we were able to do at that time. And each time there was greater depth of knowledge, there was a greater understanding of the concepts. Each time there were different questions that people asked. The teacher presented things in slightly different way when you heard it differently the next time. And my vibration each time just was able to access a higher level, a greater understanding and integration of skills. It just, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to take it multiple times.
So how many times did you take it starting out?
8.
Maybe walk me through your 8 times. You know, I think that's very similar to what Henry said. I think she said she did it 7, 8, or 9. I forget the actual number.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the same thing. And she made a comment. Was it the same with you? I'm curious. She said after each time, she would notice like her, I think there was a little bit of a lag period, and then she'd notice a deeper like opening of her abilities, of her energy abilities.
Oh, definitely.
Did you find the same experience?
Definitely. And part of it is, I call it learning the language that energy speaks to you, because everyone has a sixth sense through which they, you know, understand things, whether it's hearing or sight or knowing, feeling. And as you do more energy work, you understand better the information that's coming through that sixth sense. So, for instance, it took a while for me to realize I'm first off a feeler. So I would feel things that were going on in another person's body and then be able to move to that area. But it was a while before I realized that. It took many times, many sessions before I realized, well, my back didn't hurt before, but now it's hurting, and she just left, and it's not hurting anymore, you know. So it's that kind of thing. And as I've gone on, the other senses have opened up. So there's vision sometimes. There's hearing sometimes. There's smell. So it's just really interesting to see the progression, and the more you do the work and the more you're involved in it, the more you see, hear, feel, know. So.
Hmm. That's great. So you started off, it took you a little bit of time to actually understand your specific, the way that it works with you, what
yes.
your abilities
I mean,
were,
like,
and then over time moved.
It's like learning a language, and, you know, as you're learning the language, you're kind of, well, I don't know, what's the word for that, or, you know, that kind of thing. But as you learn how the universe is speaking to you through your body, whether it's sound or sight or feeling, then you get a little bit, it's not confidence, but it's accepting that, yes, that was a message from the universe. Yes, that is.
Huh.
Confirming that I should move my hand here, or I should change my breathing technique, or I should do this, or I should ask the person, you know, a question.
So it seems like it's that repetition again and again and again, where you start to learn the language. And I'm guessing being around a group of an experienced facilitator or teacher, as well as other students, and putting yourself in that experience again and again starts to confirm your questions and really build that confidence. Is that what you're saying, right?
Yes. And in a classroom situation, the energy is just heightened because everybody is mm-hmm. running energy. So you've got mm-hmm. that heightened sense of energy, so you actually do sense it more in a classroom setting than if you're just reading the book and doing it on your own. And I think that's really important to gain confidence, to have a greater understanding as you're starting out.
Did you find it was... I notice a common thread I hear is that people go through a process of almost a paradigm shift where they see it and they get all excited, and then some time goes by and they almost start to question what they saw. Almost yeah. like that first class, you're like, oh my gosh, bones are moving, they're doing it, I'm doing it, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You come home all excited, and then there's something that kicks in the mind or the brain that says, that was just, I just made that up. Maybe this doesn't. And then when you come back again, it's like it almost takes a while to adjust into the new paradigm that this is working, and it's not something that I hallucinated or I made up or I'm. Did you notice you went through a similar process like that?
Yes. Well, there's certainly moments of where the judge is sitting on your shoulder, or there's some self-doubt that creeps in. And I had there was a time where I also had, right before I began teaching and really, really working. More diligently and more hours during the week as a practitioner, where I questioned, what is my responsibility here? Am I causing things or affecting people in ways that I should feel responsible for? And it took me some time just to kind of mull that over and understand what Richard always says in the book. And, I know that every person is responsible for their own healing and the choices that they make, even if you are with them in a room acting as a catalyst and holding a high vibration. Those are their choices. But it took me a long time to say, yes, I'm ready for whatever that responsibility is, to hold that high vibration and have enough confidence to say, yes, I am doing it. So
that's powerful. And can you walk me through maybe your process? Like, how did you, I know you started in 2004 is when you took your first class, and, can you maybe walk me through your process, which led up to becoming, a practitioner and instructor of so many different aspects of the business?
Well, when you first take the class, you're like, oh, I want to work on everybody. You're trying to find people, the dog, the cat, the neighbor, somebody that, oh, you have a hurt elbow, let me work on it. So I looked for those opportunities to offer mini sessions to family and friends and strangers. I began to attend health fairs. And again, that was a thing when I first began to attend health fairs. I thought, well, how can in 5 minutes in a mini session can people really feel the difference? And the answer is yes, they were. And they would, after the health fair, they would call me up and, want to do more or attend a class. So I found that very effective in terms of getting people interested. Lecture demos, flyers in places like yoga studios and health food stores, chiropractors' offices, kind of like-minded people go to those places. So those kinds of things helped.
Did you have another job or anything else? Or were you doing this full-time?
Well, you know, I was doing it as full-time as I could with little people in my house.
Which is a full-time job in itself.
Right. So at that time, mm-hmm. it was really very fairly part-time, although mm-hmm. they say for massage therapists and people who do energy work that 20 hours a week is considered full-time. So in that instance, yes, I was doing full-time. But I, you know, one of the things that really helped me too was to get involved with a group of like-minded holistic health professionals, so that mm-hmm. you know, we were able to talk things over. We were able to, because each of us had different skill sets and different modalities, we would send referrals to one another, and we could come together and share and exchange, you know, gift exchanges of the work that we were doing, and just have a support network, a support group. I did also advertise in a local health magazine and then later in a more regional holistic magazine. But one of the turning points for me really was I decided, yes, this, I really want to make this a full-time thing. I really, you know, the kids are were my kids were at that time at a place where I could do more. And so for me it was visioning for myself and saying basically to myself and the universe, yes, this is my path. This is what I want to be when I grow up. So creating that vision, and I get the vision that came to me at the time was like a little shop on a little quaint street, and I was working inside, and then I actually stepped outside and hung up my shingle, you know, just like in the olden days, you'd hang up your shingle and you're open for business. And just visualizing, you know, hours that worked really well for me, the perfect working environment and space, words and visuals using to create that. And still to this day, I find that clients come to me in classes, work out when they're meant to. And when a class doesn't work out, it's always interesting to look back and say, oh, wow, well, that was the weekend my mother-in-law fell, and I needed to go and assist her, you know, or something like that, that happens, and the universe says, yeah, well, I fixed that for you, you know, so you could deal with what needs to be dealt with.
So it sounds like you had a big distinction when you just committed. You were like, you know what, this is the vision that I'm going to create for myself. This is, let me vision it, they say when you make a decision, you burn the bridges. And in a way, you were like, this is my vision. This is what I'm creating. I'm deciding this is the lifestyle that I want for me, and
right.
I'm going to focus on creating this vision every day. Even if it's not physically here yet, I'm going to visualize it and create it and work towards it. And that was a really defining moment. Was there something that happened right before that created that defining moment?
I don't know that there was any one thing. It was kind of, again, a lot of things coming together at the time. Like I said, my children got to be an age that they were more self-sufficient. I went through that period of, you know, what is my responsibility? Am I responsible for this? Am I not responsible for this? And I really am only responsible for doing, sending energy to the highest good and holding the highest vibration I can. And I was able to do that. So, yes, and then I was also, one of the things that also happened is I realized how to talk to people about holistic healing or quantum touch, and find words that people could accept, because a lot of people don't necessarily know about that or aren't accustomed to that, or, you know, they just aren't, they're a little bit wary of energy healing. And so finding words where I could meet them where they were and talk about what happens, the shifts that happen, that maybe it's just a matter of, you know, you're not feeling comfortable in stepping up and taking that next step, and maybe we can just do some breathing and visualization kind of things. And they were okay with that. You know, just so finding words that I could use that I felt comfortable using, that and that people that I was talking to could understand and feel comfortable with.
So that's a great distinction. So, and that came before or after you decided that you were going to do this?
It was about the same time when I was like, yes, this is it. This is really it. I'm doing all of this, the whole shebang.
Well, you know, I find that's part of the process of commitment is it's like, I feel like we're, like you mentioned earlier, we're always taken care of and it's always in divine alignment. So part of surrendering and trusting, but committing to that process, it shows up. So, you know, like part of that process of saying, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I'm committed. It's almost like we get a, especially with you saying I'm in service to the highest divine and the highest order.
Right.
I feel like the more we focused on contribution, the more energy we get. The more of life we sustain, the more energy we get to help sustain it. So when we're just focused on ourselves, we get a certain amount of energy. When we focus on our family and our community, we get a little bit more. But once we want to contribute on a much greater scale, we start getting more energy or more access. So it sounds like you said, I'm committed. This is what I'm going to do. I want to serve at the highest level. And all of a sudden, new ideas pop in or new information pops in. And it says, oh, try changing the language. And probably the ideas to try it. So I think some people probably get stuck saying, I don't know how to explain it, or people just don't understand, or, you know, but there's another level when you say, well, if I'm committed to this, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way to communicate. I'm going to find a way to, if I really know I can help them at the highest level and I'm here for a reason, how can I communicate to them in a way that they can understand it in their belief system, in their belief structure?
That's exactly
and then once, right.
Right,
once they open to it and you're able to work on them and they see results, then it's like the filters take off and you can explain deeper. Is there any examples you could give? Maybe a couple different examples. I know you used one of saying, well, can we do some visualization and some breathing together? Is there any other, you know, maybe off the top of your head, some good words or good ways of explaining it that you've used to be helpful?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say one thing going back to, you know, making that decision to commit. It was right after, I must have been a week within that decision period when a gal I had known kind of casually, yoga studio and that kind of thing, came up to me and said, are you doing energy work? Because I have some space that I'm not using on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Wow.
I know. Okay, yeah, right. You know, oh, really? Okay, universe,
wow.
I guess you're talking to me right here.
Wow,
so
that's
again,
fast.
Those kind of synchronous things that happen once you say yes. So you would ask about words. I look at where a person has come from. You know, if they're a deeply religious background and very conservative, you know, we talk about hands-on healing and the gifts of spirit, you know, use that kind of word. If it's someone who is a little bit more, you know, new agey and into those kinds of things, and we talk more about, you know, bioenergetics, or we talk about shifting things with the breath and those kinds of things, it just really is where the person is coming from. You know, I also work in the school system, and I do classes for students on relieving test anxiety or stress before they have an audition. I gift the teachers on Teacher Appreciation Day with energy work. And I actually do first aid for the marching band. So the kids come up, you know, if they're injured and they say, Mrs. Hunter, are you going to ask me to breathe through my feet again? And I say, yes, I'm going to ask you to breathe through your feet again.
How do you frame that? What's your languaging like for the school system?
It depends on which group. When I'm working with the students and first aid, you know, they already know that, you know, I say, well, I'm going to use some acupressure points, and, you know, I'll just hold an acupressure point or have them hold an acupressure point and breathe. While, of course, I'm also breathing and doing energy work for them. So I give them tools, too, you know, with the breath work and that kind of thing. I don't talk about energy. I just talk about we're going to breathe, because then your body knows that your whole body is going to be able to address it instead of just your mind or just that little part of your knuckle or whatever. If you breathe through your whole body, your whole body is able to address it. So I kind of use those words with them. With the teachers, I use words like relaxation techniques. The breathing techniques really allow for you within about 15 seconds to get in a really relaxed place. We talk about being able to concentrate better. We talk about some visualization things there with them too.
That's great.
So that's,
and
yeah.
And then did you approach the school, or how did you, some of those different relationships, how did they show up?
I did approach a teacher who I knew was somewhat interested in things like this, and energy, and affirmations, and things like that. She had had one of my kids, and actually she ended up having both of my kids, and she had every student write affirmations for every other student in the class, and I thought, wow,
this is really great.
So each of the students had, at the end of the year, this book of affirmations about themselves.
Wow.
And I just thought, wow, I really want to talk to her. I want to know more about her. And we did talk more, and then I said, you know, I'd like to offer this. And she said, yay, put me up first. I want to be the first one in line. So.
Wow. But I love where you're coming from, because you're coming from a place of offering, and hey, I'd like to support this, and you're reaching out and going to establish it. And it sometimes takes time, but, you know, you do that for a little bit, then you do it some more, and then they become a referral source.
Right,
you become the go-to person, the word of mouth, and it's credibility. So I think in this day and age, there's a lot of people out there, and I think if we lead with our hearts and if we lead with contribution first, not to say that we shouldn't have, because I definitely believe in abundance and prosperity, but it's coming from that place of abundance, like, wow, I have so much coming in, I'm overflowing,
right,
and I just want to share it. And in that process, there's reciprocation. So in the giving, it comes back. So that's really, I noticed that common trait. I was curious, what do you believe are maybe three things that make you successful at what you do? If you had to narrow down three things.
Certainly a belief in the power of energy work and its ability to give everyone a way to shift out of dis-ease into harmony and health. I totally believe that, and that would probably be the biggest thing. I believe that joy, laughter, and gratitude are key components to every success, whether it be energy healing or the success of your business or relationship, or just buying a house. I think that gratitude and laughter and joy are just make things go better, and they are each of such a high vibration that when you bring them into any situation, it lifts it up.
Mm.
The third thing, I guess, is being present and listening, whether it's listening to your own inner voice or listening to a client or listening while you're teaching class, really being present for the person that's there and listening not only to their words but to their body, you know, to their emotions, you know, all of that, being really present.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think one of the main benefits of quantum touch is by breathing. It gets us into our body, and sometimes, I know definitely for me as a man, I don't know if it's the same, I can tend to go to the head, to the cerebral area, and not be as present. And I find that by doing the breathing, it brings me into the body and makes me more present of my environment and the people that are close to me, especially my relationship, and really the breathing helps connect that. Do you find the same thing with the breath work?
Yes, definitely. It grounds you, it brings you to here and now, and it fills you. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that we always say as teachers is, you know, breathe and sweep yourself two or three times first so that you fill yourself. It's like when you get on an airplane and they say, well, if the oxygen mask drops down, you need to put it on yourself first so then you can assist others. So by breathing and sweeping ourselves, then we are filled and then can be the channel of the higher energy to help other people.
That's great. That's congruent, too. I feel like it's very congruent of, you know, what we're sharing with other people or teaching or practicing. You know, it's by applying it to ourselves first. It's staying congruent with that and the belief in the work. I got another question. This is a different kind of question. Have you ever been in a place where you felt like giving up? And you broke through a barrier, like maybe where, you know, whether it was quantum touch, you know, you're like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Something happened and then you broke through.
Yes, and it's funny you asked this right after I was talking about the oxygen masks. So several years ago, there were a number of events, family events and shifts and dynamics in the family that left me kind of stuck and into taking on necessary tasks at the time, but I end up being depleted and drained. And because of the caretaking needs I was addressing, I, you know, had gotten away from meditating and being in joy and gratitude and laughter, and I was neglecting myself. And the breakthrough was a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, said, you know, after a long conversation about what I was doing for others, what are you doing for you? You know, what are you doing for you? And she really called me out, and it was so interesting because I always say in the QT classes, you know, we breathe and sweep ourselves first to fill ourselves, so then we can act as the channel to assist others. And I hadn't been taking my own advice.
Mm-hmm.
So that really brought me back to, wow, just the basics are so important for us,
mm-hmm.
for as individuals, you know, to take that advice, breathe and sweep yourself first. So.
Yeah, and I think there's also a step to, it's one thing to learn it, it's another thing to be it. And I think that's the part that
right.
you're hitting on, because I think the process of being, it's a process. It's not an overnight, I guess maybe some people, I don't want to put any limits on anybody, but I know at least in my experience, when I want to adopt something and ingrain it, it's a process, and it's a very forgiving process of, like, I use the phrase, focus on progress, not perfection. Meaning, like, let's say I set a goal to go running every day. And if I miss a day, don't beat myself up and reverberate back, but instead just say, okay, well, get on the next day. And then I think it maybe is the same thing of this, I imagine, going from the process of being a practitioner and then integrating as an instructor. It sounds like actually doing the techniques and making it a part of your lifestyle is a key to your happiness. It sounds like, so you were at a low point, and then that reminder, once you started doing it, did it shift?
It really did. And what I found with that and with other things that have happened in my life and people have come in for, you know, for work, is it's a reminder, and it's also a touchstone, so that you can be at the place when someone comes to ask for assistance from you, you've been there, so you can say, I know where you are. And I certainly don't know where people are from, you know, for a lot of different things, but you know, I get a taste of it, or I get an idea of it. And I can say this really helped, you know.
That's great. It gives you compassion knowing where they're at in the process.
Exactly. And we all slip up and, you know, forget things. It's like toddlers, you know. We learn something, but we forget something else, you know.
That's funny. And, you know, so many of our practitioners and instructors, they have a difficult time growing their business. I just did a survey recently, and it seems like one of the main reasons that people have gone inactive is they're not able to grow it. And what are some key attributes that have allowed you to grow your quantum touch practice?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the
mm-hmm.
kind of my psychology, my three
mm-hmm.
biggest
your belief.
Things, my beliefs. But I've got to say, you know, taking as many level one classes as you can really makes a difference, because it just gets so ingrained in you. And you really get greater understanding, a greater depth of the concepts. The manifestation techniques, all of that just really gets in you. And your vibration shifts with each workshop and with each understanding, with each time you work with someone else. And you get that better understanding of the language. Certainly, you know, a group of people, and I found that in the Quantum Touch community. I found it, like I said, in my local community by seeking out folks who are of a similar mindset, and having that base, that support system, but also that system where they can refer people to you and you can refer to them. So, you know, sharing modalities so that you can understand what they're doing and refer somebody and they can understand what you're doing. I found that's a great help. And certainly, you know, having someone that you can ask questions of. I met Henry for Jewel at the Quantum Touch Conference in 2007, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really nice connection then, but I've found since then, you know, when I've had a question, we connect on a certain level. And then working on the mentor program with Henry and with Marlene Campbell, it just, there's a connection in the Quantum Touch community that is really, really nice. And, you know, if you have a question about, well, I've got this person coming to me, and what do you think about, these are the symptoms, what do you think about that? And it's nice to bounce ideas off one another, or say, you know, I had that last week, and this is what I did. It was very effective. You know, they took it and went with it. So having that base of community and support is, I think, really important. And then just getting out there and saying to the world, hey, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. So beliefs number one, the repetition of the level one classes to get kind of it in your body, understanding the language and how to communicate it, having a similar mindset of the group that you hang around. They say you're the five people you spend the most time with. Your everything about you is similar, whether it's your income, your relationships, your health, all the different aspects. So really reaching out and finding, you know, practitioners, instructors, they could be other modalities, but really that, or the same, but that are focused on building and growing their business.
Right.
And then a mentor is also what I heard, reaching out and finding a mentor, somebody to guide you through so they can see up ahead of where you to need to guide you through, which is great because I think that's one of the reasons you guys put in place, you know, kind of championed the, you know, the mentorship for practitioners and instructors so they could have
Definitely.
A guide walk them through the process. And then as well as the community and support, and then taking action. That's great.
Hang that shingle out there.
You know, it's funny. I remember when I first started to, with Tony, I think it was, he was saying, you know, somebody was asking him, like, what's the best way to start doing sales? And he said, you know, pick up a rock and throw it in that direction and then just go. I mean, it's like take a step, point a direction, and start asking. You know, it just is like
right.
You go anywhere, you're going to find people. It's just getting out there and about and meeting people. And, I mean, it could be anywhere. And this is such a great tool because it allows you to heal people pretty immediately. And it doesn't work every time, but a lot of the times people see a big reaction. And I think
it allows you to assist people in their own healing. I wanted to change,
great,
you know, your
yeah.
words.
Thank you.
Watch your
Thank
words.
You. Thank you. So I guess it's finding people that are going through a condition and then assisting them with their own process,
yes.
which helps build the credibility or the, you know, with that confidence, like you said, with you, because you're out there doing it, and it helps kind of repeat that. Also, it sounds like so you did it quite a bit when you first got started. You were just out and about. I remember you say just anybody. Would you go places? Would you do things?
Yes.
Or was it just kind of in your life?
Yes, anywhere, you know. Somebody's in the parking lot and they've just twisted their ankle, and you say, oh, you know, I think I can help you with that, you know.
Mm.
Those
great.
Kinds of things. Oh, babies crying on airplanes? Oh, yes.
Huh. Huh.
Works every time.
Wow, that's something you get excited for.
Yes,
what do you, what
really
do you say? Do you just say, hey, do you mind if I place my hands on your child? Or
no, I wherever I'm sitting, I just send distance energy to the baby.
Just send distance energy. A couple seconds later.
That's right.
That's great. And then if you were just starting as a practitioner or an instructor, what would be the best advice you could give yourself? I know you've already given so many good little tidbits, but if you could give that, you know, picture yourself there, what would you give yourself?
Let's see. I don't know. I've said a lot of things.
Yeah, you have. You've given a lot of the tips.
I think, you know, the thing about having someone that you can really ask questions of, and the mentor program is going to allow for that. And I think I'm so excited about it. We worked, Henry and Marlene and I, with Jennifer and Anna, worked a long time to get this where we wanted it. And mm-hmm. I just think that the value that it will bring to practitioners and folks who want to be instructors is incredible, because you've got somebody who's been through it and done it. You've got, you can ask them questions, you can get advice. The full mentoring program even goes into aspects of setting up workshops and looking at workshop space, frequently asked questions, all that kind of thing. But within the mentor program, you have so many people in, you know, worldwide who are accomplished and are doing this out there. So I take advantage of that gift of knowledge and, you know, utilize it. I think it makes for an easier trip because, you know, you can ask those questions that, you know, maybe I at first stumbled over and didn't quite get, or it would have been nice to know that, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, what do you do when you've got someone you're working with them and they just continue to talk? And you realize that they're talking just to divert you from actually addressing what it is they came in for. So how do you handle that? You know, those kinds of things. It's really nice to have someone to help with that. I just think it's going to set up the practitioners, instructors in a very strong position to succeed in their work with Quantum Touch.
That's great. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of mentorship and coaching, but this is essentially the same thing. It's a form of coaching from people who have already been there and that are already skilled in that area. I know you probably have a tons of healing stories. Do you have a really cool one? Which may be one of your favorite healing stories?
Well, one of my favorites is actually a distance healing story. This gal went into the doctor. She was 8.5 months pregnant and found out the baby was breech. And so the doctor said, let's set up for your C-section. And she panicked and thought, I don't want a C-section. I really don't want a C-section. And she called me and she said, is there anything we can do? And I said, well, sure there is. Sure there is. We can do something. And so worked with her. I actually waited until she was asleep so that I could work with baby and have mom out of the way, you know, because if mom's thinking about it and worried about it, then that's just kind of conflicting energy. So waited till she was asleep and worked with the baby, and the baby felt like it was shifting when I was doing the energy, and I just kept like almost seeing like hands on a clock and moving the hands on the clock. And she called me the next morning. She said, I feel good. I don't know what you did, but I feel good. And she went in to the doctors to be checked, ready for the C-section, and he said, wait a minute. Bring the ultrasound in. The baby had turned, and he sent her home. And 2 days later, she delivered naturally.
Wow. That's amazing.
Cool one. That was a really, really cool one. But, I've worked with all kinds of things, so.
Yeah, probably very fulfilling, too, to be able to connect with somebody in the system in that way of something so crucial.
And there was another really cool one that was fun because, it was a baby, but twins, there were twins that I knew, and I had been in the hospital to help mom kind of through the birthing process. Well, the twins were in the nursery. One twin was getting up to temperature really nicely, but the other twin wasn't. And so I was standing outside the window and sending energy to the twin that wasn't quite getting her temperature up to where the nurses wanted it. And I was working, and I could actually see the thermometer, although it was in Celsius. It wasn't in Fahrenheit, so I wasn't sure where it needed to be. But I was watching, and it started clicking up. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. And I stopped doing energy, and I just was watching it, and it didn't move. And I thought, oh, I'm not breathing. So I started breathing and sweeping again, and it moved up again and moved up again. And I was still breathing and sweeping and moved up again. And I thought, wow, is this really working? That was one of those moments. Is this really working? And I stopped, and it stopped moving. And I said, okay, well, that's a pretty obvious indication that we're doing something here. The baby is really accepting this energy and improving her temperature there. And so I did about 15 more minutes, and the nurse came in and looked at it and picked up the baby and took her off the machine.
Wow. That's incredible.
So that was fun because I could actually see on the monitor, you know, her temperature. Again, I didn't know what it was because I'm not familiar with Celsius.
Wow, what a cool experience to be a part of that, to see it happen in front of your eyes.
Yes, yes. nice confirmation.
Wow, that's really
but
exciting.
One of the things that I've found, yeah, just in terms of the work since I started with Quantum Touch, is what happened with me, and I don't know if this is true for others, it probably isn't, but I had times when there were just sets of people. So everybody coming to me had an issue with their lower back for 6 or 9 months. So every new client had an issue with the lower back. So I worked on lower backs. And then there was a time of about 18 months where every new client that came in was considering a hysterectomy, had had a hysterectomy, was considering a partial hysterectomy, had just recovered from surgery or was going into, I mean, it was just really incredible how kind of these pockets of people come at certain times. And it's just really incredible how that's kind of progressed just in my work. And it's been, you know, cancer, people coming in with different forms of cancer, another pocket of those folks for a certain amount of time. So that's been an interesting, you know, way that my work has gone. I don't know if that's true for other people.
So it's shifted. There's conditions have shifted. It's one condition.
They just shift, and then there, you know, there's times when everybody's got different things, but there have been funny pockets where it was all about one thing. So
that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that same thing from a lot of instructors. I know a couple people were very successful at like scoliosis, and people would fly in from all over the world to get specific. Mm-hmm. And I was at one point I was going to support, you know, kind of make awareness of what conditions were working. I reached out, and I remember on the instructor call, a lot of the instructors were saying, "Well, it changes. You know, 1 week it's this, and a couple weeks later it's this." And you know, I think some people might have specific things that they're around more, or just tend to stick longer, or specifically. But I think that's kind of the general consensus I've heard, is it shifts for a lot of people.
Yeah,
kind of shifts around.
It does. Mm-hmm. So when someone says, "Well, what's your specialty?" I say, "Well, you know, everything. There's always a high vibration that you can assist someone with." Shifts will be made whether you see them today or not.
Okay, and then we have a couple people on the webcast. There's people on the webcast. Let's see if anybody has any questions specifically for Miriam. You can type them into the chat box. There should be a chat box if you're listening online. You could just put your name and your information, any questions that you have, or if you're on the phone, you could just raise your hand. There's a way that you can raise your hand on the phone, and if you have specific questions, I can answer them or ask them, and then she can answer them. Just a couple of minutes for that. And while they're doing that, is there anything else you'd like to share with the group or any other? I mean, you've been so helpful today. These are some really good gems of information. I think they can really take with them.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. And one of the things I will just share this, when I was thinking about talking with everyone today, I was looking through some notes and came upon my initial application to be a Quantum Touch practitioner. And I read over the insights and observations that, of course, we all have put in when we want to be a practitioner. And it was a little bit surprising to me that I could say exactly the same thing today that I said then, that those insights and observations are still true, so true, and amplified. And then just the wonder of each session and the truly miraculous shifts that clients find for themselves, it's just the allowing that the breath work and all of that can do for folks. It just is truly a blessing to be able to wake up each day and know that I love this work and I get to do it.
That's the best gift, is to be able to follow your passion and be aligned with it. And they say when you're focused on having fun and you love what you do, everything becomes a lot easier. It doesn't seem like kind of like the time flies. It doesn't seem like work. It seems more like fun.
That's
great. Mm-hmm. I don't see any questions coming in. I'm sure it sounds like you might have answered them all in advance. It's really good distinctions.
Miracles
here
do happen.
You know, and just to summarize, in case anybody came on late, you know, a couple key distinctions from the call that I was taking notes too were, you know, some of the three things that really were distinctions for you was the belief in the power of the work and how the energy shifts, and that it allows people to, it supports people in healing themselves, and your belief in joy, laughter, and gratitude, and being present in each moment and the people that you're with. And then really the fundamentals were the belief is number one. Second one was attending level one classes and really refining the skill set, understanding the language and how to communicate this to different groups of people so that it resonates with them. Mm-hmm. Similar mindset, finding a peer network or peer group to communicate with, finding a mentor to walk you along the path, and then community support, so you're really supported in a community, and then just taking action, getting out there and taking massive action. So it's been an amazing call, so many great distinctions, and I really appreciate you taking the time to share with the community. Thank you so much, Miriam.
Thank you, Joshua, for inviting me, and thank you all for taking part in this call. I'm really grateful for this journey and for Quantum Touch, and wish you all the best in your individual journeys. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, you have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.